CQ America, and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the show that specializes in the great service that amateur radio provides. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7 LPW.
CQ America, and welcome to Ham Radio and More.
25-30, first down at the 25.
Gunning a running play for
the Thomas, breaks it up the 25. Still on his feet at the 20, gets down to the 15.
Okay, we're back. That was the Super Bowl. You got enough football. Now we're here to talk about the Super Bowl Sunday. So, okay, CQ America, I'm Len Winkler, KB7 LPW, along with
John Moore, NJ7E.
We'll bring you the best in amateur radio going today. First, I want to welcome a new station to our growing list of affiliates, KSEY 94.3 FM in Seymour, Texas. As always, the first caller from there will receive a free subscription to 73 Magazine. So if you're listening on KSEY, give us a call at 1-800-298-TALK. That's 1-800-298-8255. Thanks also to the many people that have sent in their QSL cards or their postcards. I'll begin next week picking a card for free subscriptions to Radio Fun and 73 Magazine. I really need each and every one of you to send in a card showing that you listen to us so we can show our sponsors that we really do have listeners. Give us your name, address, station you're listening to, and any other words of encouragement, and send them to Ham Radio and More, 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. That's 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Send them now so you'll have a chance to win as early as next week. We have a super show this Super Sunday for you with Joe Mel, K0V, on the sport of transmitter hunting. We'll be right back with Joe after these short announcements. Stay tuned for this.
This is Len Wink.
And I'm here to tell you that Antique Electronic Supply has all, and I mean all those impossible to find, transmitting and receiving tubes, tube sockets, capacitors, transformers, books, resistors, and so much more. So much, in fact, that they carry, now get this, in stock, well over 300,000 tubes at any one time, including the current production tubes from China and Russia, as well as the new old stock tubes made in the United States. Antique Electronic Supply ships within 24 hours. And they have knowledgeable salespeople who answer the phones. They can actually answer your every question. So if you're restoring some old equipment or need reference books, including actual service manuals dating back to the 20s, or need obsolete tube types that haven't been made in decades, Antique Electronic Supply is your one-stop place to get it all. If there's a tube you've been wishing you could find somewhere, somehow, Antique Electronic Supply probably has it, and they have their new 1994 full-color catalog ready to send to you now, free of charge, just for mentioning Ham Radio and More. So call Antique Electronic Supply at 602-820-5411. That's 602-820-5411. Or you can fax them at 602-820-4643. You can do that now and tell them you want their free catalog, or place an order with your Visa, MasterCard, or American Express card. They'll be happy to give you the prices and availability over the phone. Oh, yes, if you want to give a great holiday present, they carry many crystal radio kits in stock at really low prices. They're easy to build and will teach you all about radio. That's Antique Electronic Supply, 602-820-5411. Or write to Antique Electronic Supply at 6221 South Maple in Tempe, Arizona, 85283. Again, that's Antique Electronic Supply. You'll be happy you made the call.
During the colder winter months, people don't think about making exterior home improvements. But Sears installs vinyl siding all winter long. And now is a great time to have vinyl siding installed on your home. Just call 1-800-832-5200 for a free in-home estimate. And save 10%, up to $500. Sears vinyl siding is installed over a full layer of Dow underlayment which adds insulation to your home, helping in the winter months. And Sears vinyl siding is guaranteed not to dent, chip, or peel for as long as you own your home. Put Sears experienced siding crews to work for you this winter. Call 1-800-832-5200 for a free in-home estimate and save 10%, up to $500. Not available in all areas. The offer ends March 20th. Sears siding crews are the best in the business, so call 1-800-832-5200. Sold, furnished, and installed by American Remodeling Incorporated, your local Sears authorized contractor. Call now, 1-800-832-5200.
Okay, welcome back to Ham Radio More. This is Len Winkler, KB7LPW, along with
John Moore, NJ70.
Our phone number, 1-800-298-TALK. That's 1-800-298-8255. Of course, that's a toll-free number anywhere in the United States. Give us a call. Now, we're going to talk about transmitter hunting today. We're going to describe what it is. We're going to talk about it. But all of you out there who know a little about transmitter hunting, if you've ever been on a transmitter hunt, and it has been wild, some really unique place, some way out of the way spot, you know, inside of a duck or something floating on top of the pond or in a submarine or, you know, in the stealth fighter or something, give us a call at 1-800-298-TALK and we'll put you on. We want to hear the wildest places to hide a transmitter. But our guest today is going to be Joe Mell, K0OV, from Fullerton, California. In fact, Joe holds an extra class ham license. He's a technical advisor for the ARRL. Joe also writes a super monthly column in 73 magazine on transmitter hunting. And Joe is co-authored with Thomas Curley, WB6UZZ, the definitive book on transmitter hunting, entitled, what else? Transmitter Hunting, Radio Direction Finding Simplified. So Joe Mell, the guru of transmitter hunting, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Thanks very much, Len. It's great to be back on your show again. I always enjoy talking about tea hunting, and especially with your audience. They're a great bunch.
Thank you very much. Joe, I know you're we're going to be here to talk about transmitter hunting, but first, I know you're in the earthquake zone in California. Can you basically tell everybody what the hams did from your perspective there during the earthquake and how fast they responded?
Not just what they did, Len, but what they're still doing. Ham radio is still quite active here. As a matter of fact, we were just discussing with some Red Cross people today about getting some additional hams to some of the shelters. We're down to fewer shelters. We have about 7 shelters open now where people who were displaced by the earthquake are living, but the Red Cross is using ham radio operators still on a regular basis to provide communications for those shelters and as a backup to some of the other communications that have been established. We were active, I say we, here in Orange County. I live in Fullerton, which is 44 miles from the epicenter, but we got an e-coupon ride, I'll tell you that. We got a good wake-up call, and within seconds after that, our disaster group was on the air, which is the Hospital Disaster Support Communications System. My wife, April, WA6OPS, is the emergency coordinator for that group. Of our 94 members, we had almost half of those members were on the air within just a very few minutes after the earthquake. Many of them went to the local hospitals here in the Orange County area to verify the damage or lack thereof. We checked 35 hospitals here in Orange County within a matter of 2 hours after the quake, and fortunately, only one of them had a significant amount of damage, and that was mostly burst water pipes, but we definitely showed that we could provide bottom-up damage assessment in a very rapid manner here in Orange County.
Well, excellent. I think it's important, current events, and to show what ham radio operators can do. Okay, let's get on to the subject at hand. Joe, what is transmitter hunting? That, you know, right here I've got John Moore listening, and he's salivating because we're talking about the subject he endears to more than anything else. What is transmitter hunting, and why is he so excited, and you, about it?
Well, it's funny. I feel like I'm bringing coals to Newcastle here by talking about TNing because, of course, you and John are both involved in it. But I can certainly share your enthusiasm. I got started in it a number of years ago, and I discovered that it's kind of like hide and seek for adults and people of all ages, for that matter, with radios. You start out from a common point, usually. Sometimes the hunts may start from anywhere. But we all get together at a hilltop, we listen for a signal, and for the next hours we're tracking down someone who has done something unusual with a radio transmitter. And before the hunt is over, we never know where we're going to end up, and we never know what we're going to find. It's great fun.
Okay, now, I know it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. John, of course, enjoys it. And I say thousands of people all over the United States and the rest of the world. In fact, in parts of the world, it's a lot more popular than it is here in America. But there's much more of a reason to have transmitter hunting than just for us to enjoy ourselves, go searching it. Well, what does it do? What does it do for us?
Well, it does a number of things. Of course, I'm talking mostly about the fun aspect of it, and that's probably what you get the most calls about. But you never know when you may have to find someone in distress. For example, many of our hams locally are getting involved with the Civil Air Patrol. These are the people that track airplanes or emergency locator transmitters for airplanes that have gone off. I'll be doing a column on that, 73, by the way, in a couple of months, about how ham radio operators save lives by hunting ELTs. We also, of course, can use it to help do our self-policing, self-enforcing of the ham radio bans. And you never know, of course, when your skills may be needed. We had a situation just recently I'll be writing about in my column. Just after the earthquake, a carrier appeared on one of the frequencies used by the sheriff in Los Angeles County. It was disrupting communications for quite a while. They discovered that one of our T-hunters was working with the Disaster Communication Service and said, "Can you help out?" And he went out and found it in a fairly short period of time. What it was a burst pipe in the upper floors of a sheriff's substation had rained down on a transmitter, had shorted the mic switch, and the transmitter had come on the air. And if Jamie, by the way, I should give him credit.
Okay, you can.
Smith, KK6CU, is the fellow that did it. And if he hadn't found it, the communications for the sheriffs would have been disrupted for a considerably longer period of time. So you never know. That's the important thing that I tell hams is get ready now. Learn about T-hunting now, because when the T goes on the air and you have to find it in a big hurry, it pays to be prepared.
Well, you mentioned that story. What about in this month's issue of Homing In, or 73 Magazine, in your column of Homing In? You talk about the Dallas DF detectives. That was a pretty interesting story also.
That's right. I've gotten a number of interesting stories from Tom Lewis, AB5CK. And one of them, I think the one you're referring to, relates to the fact that he has a friend who is a teacher who was a ham radio operator, and he was a control operator of one of the local repeaters, and so he brought his radio to school every day, would often set it on his desk at school, and one day the radio was stolen. And just that afternoon, some unidentified station came on the air on the local repeater. It was clear that the person that was on the air knew very little about radio, and of course they immediately connected that with the person that had stolen the radio. And by doing a little bit of detective work, by knowing who might have been able to do it, and some direction finding, within just a couple of days, they were able to identify the person that took it and get the radio back for him.
Well, that applies to me here. I just had a radio stolen about a week ago out of my daughter's car. And so let's just hope that guy gets on the air a little bit, and Phoenix has an active group, and I'll get my radio back.
You'll be ready for him, I know.
You betcha.
You wouldn't want to mess around with John. Okay, you're listening to Ham Radio and More, and I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW, along with John Moore, NJ7E, and we're talking to Joe Mel, K0V, in Fullerton, California, about transmitter hunting. Our phone number is 1-800-298-TALK. That's 1-800-298-8255, and we really encourage you to give us a call. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, and the game just started, but you know what? It's like a basketball game. There's no sense watching Charles Barkley until the last 2 minutes of the game, and there's no sense watching a football game till it's almost over. especially for facing like last year. It's over in the first 5 minutes, though. But anyway, okay, we'll be right back after these few announcements. Again, give us a call, 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255.
When you thought about WNDS Sports, you thought...
To deal with today's competitive, high-paced environment, organizations must build top-performing work teams. Leading-edge training is essential to developing leading-edge teams. The Management Development Program at Northern Arizona University invites you to attend Team Building 1994. Studies reveal that top-performing teams must have these four characteristics: a firm foundation of trust, strong and open dialogue among its members, unified goals, and a powerful sense of purpose, ability to combine diverse talents and backgrounds to get things done. Team Building 1994. Dr. Suzanne Drury, clinical psychologist, author, and owner of Team Up, a consulting firm which specializes in team-related issues, draws upon the latest research to help you build teams with these four qualities. This seminar on team building will be held February 25th at the Executive Park Hotel here in Phoenix. Attendance is limited, so call toll-free, 1-800-442-8808, 1-800-442-8808, to register. Stay ahead of your competition. If you love the ambience and attentive service of the resort golf courses, but your finances are tired of taking a beating, come visit Palm Valley Golf Club. Part of the 9,000-acre Palm Valley community developed by Suncor, this is one beautiful golf course. Designed by Arthur Hills and Associates, Palm Valley offers challenge and enjoyment for golfers at every skill level. But even with its resort course ambience, greens fees with card are only $37 Monday through Thursday, $46 on weekends. And while you're there, visit the community too. Conveniently close to Litchfield Road and I-10, the Palm Valley community offers a simple approach to living, with models by Ryland Homes, Saddleback Homes, T.W. Lewis, Diamond Key Homes, and Suncor Homes opening soon, you'll find a home you'll love to live in. Visit Palm Valley. Experience this beautiful new course and the exciting new community. Palm Valley, I-10 and Litchfield Road. A simple approach to living and a much more affordable approach to resort-style golf.
You know, the Valley isn't quite what it used to be. Time was when you could get from one side to the other in no time at all. But now, with those borders continuing to widen, you need help knowing what's going on in the Phoenix area. And the right information is especially important when shopping for a home. And that's where Home Buyer's Guide comes in. It's the only complete housing guide for maps and listings to over 300 new home communities, including phone numbers, price ranges, and builder names. Plus, Home Buyer's Guide features a special section on the top 40 master plan communities and the amenities they offer. Color photos and easy-to-use maps make it easy shopping for your new home, and it's so easy to carry, fits right in your purse or coat pocket. New home construction, mortgage charts, so much more, available now free. That's right. All you have to do to get a free 6-month subscription is call this number, 831-9944, or pick up a copy at most real estate offices or at Abco grocery stores. Home Buyer's Guide, so you can make sure the biggest investment you'll make is the right one for you. Call now, 831-9944, 831-9944.
CQ, 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 this is Ham Radio and More with your host, Len Winkler, KB7 LPW.
Welcome back to Ham Radio and More. We're talking to Joe Mell at K0OV in Fullerton, California, about transmitter hunting. Oh, Joe, I want to tell you, I got a call from somebody who saw the notification of this show in 73 Magazine, and he called from Omaha, Nebraska. He goes tea hunting with your nephew.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do your nephew live there?
Actually, my nephew lives in Nebraska City, and so he very well might have gone up to Omaha to go tea hunting. And we're trying to get him into ham radio, too. Do you remember the fellow's name?
I honestly don't, but he said he would be listening maybe on satellite. So if he is listening, he should give us a call. I have 1-800-298-TALK. He definitely mentioned, because when I said Joe Mel is going to be my guest this week, he said, oh, I'm a big tea hunter, and I just went with his nephew last week or 2 weeks ago or something like that.
That's great. I was back in Nebraska about a year ago and introduced my nephew to tea hunting in Lincoln, Nebraska. They have a very active tea hunting group there. I've never gone into tea hunt in Omaha, but of course they're about equidistant from Nebraska City, so I hope he continues with it. That's great.
And I may be thinking Omaha, but it might have been Nebraska City or something. Okay, we have a caller online from Biloxi, Mississippi, N4XHN. Welcome to Ham Radio and More from Biloxi, Mississippi.
How you doing?
Okay, Ron. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing especially well now that I found out about your show. I also saw it in 73 magazine.
And what station are we on in Biloxi?
WVMI.
WVMI. Welcome. Okay. I'm going to give you a subscription to 73 magazine just because you're the first caller we ever received from Biloxi, Mississippi. And also, it, of course, has Homing In, which is Joe's column. Okay, do you have a question by any chance?
Yeah, great. Appreciate the subscription. Yeah, I've never been on a tea hunt, and I was just wondered if there's any special band or frequency that's better for tea hunting.
Okay. It's interesting because tea hunting in ham radio kind of got started in the 50s, and back then, of course, when everybody was mobile, they were on 75 meters or 10 meters. So that's where they did the tea hunts. Nowadays, almost everybody is on 2 meters. They may be on other bands, but they're definitely on 2 meters. So most of our tea hunts around the country are on 2 meters. We hunt here in Southern California on 6 meters, 2 meters, 220, 450. One of these days we're going to have a tea hunt on 1.2 gig. That'll
sure
be wild. But 2 meters, which almost everyone has, is really great for tea hunting because you can bounce signals off mountains and do real strange things with the signal.
In other words, you can be devious, Ron.
The more devious, the better.
And I'm with two of the most devious, John Moore and, of course, Joe Mel, our Mr. Devious when it comes to transmitter hunting or hiding the transmitter.
Yeah, except we've got to win sometime, Len, so we can do it again.
Well, Joe's going to give us some pointers.
Oh, we are.
Ron, anything else?
Yeah, that'd be great down here. We're on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi down here, and I can just see somebody floating one offshore there. Make it hard to find.
Well, it would be good to put it in one of the, you know, great white sharks.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know, have them swallow one.
I think that's out of bounds.
No. We've had transmitter hunts where it's in the water, right?
Offshore, maybe not.
Oh. Well, I think it depends on the local rules.
You know, Ron, they make up the rules as they go along anyway.
That's just like life, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope that Russ take your name and phone number and address off the air, and we'll get you a free subscription to 73 Magazine. Thanks for listening, Ron. Tell everybody in Biloxi, tune in to WVMI.
I'll sure do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it. 73. Okay, Joe. Well, that was interesting because there are tea hunts on all different bands, and they each present a unique challenge.
That's really true. The higher in frequency you go, the easier it is to bounce the signal off things. The smaller an object that will bounce the signal. 450, for example, the 440 to 450 megahertz band is much harder than 2 meters in an urban area because the signal just caroms around like a ping pong ball or a billiard ball on a billiard table. And just because you get a bearing from a specific direction doesn't mean the signal is necessarily coming from that direction. It just may be bouncing off something in that direction. It's true on 2 meters, but it's even more true the higher in frequency that you go.
So you're really thinking of doing a 1.2 gig hunt, huh?
Well, when we get enough interest, yes, I think it'd be great.
You can get a real directional antenna on your car for that.
Well, you could. That's right. It wouldn't take much to build a directional antenna, a really directional antenna, because it could be quite small. We probably haven't said it, but...
Okay, I'm going to hold that thought. Okay. You're listening to AM Radio and More, and I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW, along with...
John Moore, NJ70.
And we're talking to Joe Mel, K0V, and we'll be right back.
Financial News Radio 1510 is KFNN Mesa, Phoenix.
LPW, along with John Moore, NJ70, and we're talking to Joe Mel, K0V, about transmitting or hunting. Our phone number, 1-800-298-TALK, 1-800-298-8255. We're looking for a call from Seymour, Texas. That would be neat, and we can give them a free subscription to 73 Magazine also. Okay, Joe, can you continue on that thought?
Well, I was just going to mention that it doesn't take a lot to get into tea hunting, and if you have, for example, a 2-meter beam, a small one, maybe three or four elements, or have made up one of those small quads for emergency preparedness work or backpacking or something like that, that and your 2-meter radio with an S-meter is pretty much all you need to get started in tea hunting. So many hams already have everything they need to go tea hunting right now. They may want to add an attenuator to make it a little easier to read the signal on their S-meter when the signal gets real strong, but it's really, really simple to do tea hunting on the 2-meter band to get started. And we don't want to leave the impression in people's minds that it takes a lot of expensive or high-tech equipment, although that's a lot of fun too, but it can be done really, really simply.
Oh yeah, I mean, just a simple beam.
That's right. And as I said, many hams already have the equipment now, they just don't realize it. And it's just a matter of figuring out a way to mount it on the family car.
And one other thing I think that's really important, especially considering we're a show talking to non-hams as well as hams, you don't even need to be a ham in order to participate in a transmitter hunt because you're only receiving.
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, my nephew, though I'm working on it, isn't a ham yet, but he sure enjoys going out on tea hunting. And as a matter of fact, in our classes, which we teach, when we start talking about tea hunting, we all immediately have people that want to ride along on tea hunts, and they can participate, they can do everything there is to do except transmit, and you don't have to transmit until you win the hunt.
Then with John and myself, we never have that problem. We never transmit.
We haven't been doing too well lately, Joe.
Oh, really?
I'm afraid that everybody else is caught up in the high-tech department.
That's really true, and that's a good point. Is I don't know about in your area, although I can guess that yours is very much like Southern California, where we have so many good hunters that nobody wins all the hunts, you know, every time they hunt. So it's not a matter of, like it may be in some sports, where one team wins all the games and the others are, you know, kind of left standing in the dust. In tea hunting, once you get fairly good, there's enough uniqueness about each hunt that it definitely spreads them out and gives everybody a fairly equal chance.
Yeah, we've had, we've been embarrassed a few times when people showed up that have never hunted before with nothing but a beam and a radio, maybe an attenuator, and then beat all of us old timers.
I've had a situation where I hit a transmitter not too long ago, and just a very few minutes after I started the hunt, up there as a fella, he didn't have a beam or anything else, he'd just been driving in the area, the signal's real strong, he was a tea hunter, but he wasn't planning to hunt that night, but he said, hey, I hear it, I'm going to be there, and he was there in just no time. So sometimes people hunt even without any directional antennas.
Okay, well, we're talking about transmitter hunting, and I want calls, 1-800-298-TALK. I know you're watching the Super Bowl, but call us anyway, 1-800-298-8255. And transmitter hunting is a lot of fun. I've been doing it for about 2 years now, so get in on it, get in on the fun, and we'll be talking about some of the new things. 1 minute. If you're just joining us, welcome. You're listening to Ham Radio and More, and I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and along with
John Moore, NJ70.
We're telling you all there is about ham radio. Of course, not all there is, because it would take us years to do that. We're talking to Joe Mel, K0V, about transmitter hunting. But first, we're going to do our weekly DX update with KY7M. So, Lee Finkel, take it away.
This is KY7 Mike with the weekly DX update. The excitement's really building now. 3 Yankee 0 Papa India should be on the air within the week. February 1st is the target date, but they may be on even sooner than that from Peter the First Island, a long-awaited expedition. All QSLs are to go to KA6Z or AA6 Bravo Bravo. Keep in mind that any cards for VP8BZL, their call while on the Falkland Islands, should be in a separate envelope. And there will be 5 QSOs per QSL, so keep that in mind when you send a return envelope. You'll need more postage if you're lucky enough to work them more than 5 times. Walter, DJ0FX, will be active as FO0 Papa Tango through February 19th from French Polynesia. There's been an incredible amount of activity from the Isle of Man in recent weeks. GD4WBY on 12 and 17 meters between 1400 and 1630 Zulu. GD4 Papa Tango Victor on 80 meters, a regular there around 0800 Zulu. GD4BEG on 160 between 0630 and 0730. And recently, Steve, G4UOL, has been active as GD4UOL, will be there until February 6th. Eric, S21 Zulu Golf, has been active and a regular on 80 meters from Bangladesh. Look for him between 3651 and 3653. Around 11:45 to 12:15 Zulu, and again around 0 Zulu. Seppo, OH1VR, is returning to the Netherlands Antilles and will be active as Papa Julia 2, Stoke OH1VR, through February 2nd. John, AA2LW, is going to Antigua. He'll be operating portable Victor 2 and will be there through the first part of February. Very active 10 through 40 on single sideband, and particularly like 17 meters, so look for him there. Brian, VPA Charlie Fox Mike, who's been very active in the past few years from South Orkney, is going to be the base commander of the British Antarctic Survey Base in Antarctica, and will be there for the next 14 months. Look for him there with his own call or VP8HAL. I want to give thanks to QRZDX, DX Bulletin, OpDX Bulletin, and ARRL DX Bulletin for their information. 73s and good DX. I'm KY7 Mike.
Thanks, Lee. We appreciate that each and every week. Again, I want to remind everybody to send in your QSL cards or your postcards to Ham Radio and More, 4800 North Central, sunny Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. So we can show our sponsors that we have listeners that want this show to continue. Send them in today. Next week, we'll have an open phone segment along with an interview with George Fatauer Jr. from Antique Electronics Supply about old-time radio tubes and more. The first Sunday of every month will be open forum, so you can talk about whatever you want in the amateur radio hobby. Upcoming guests include Bill Pasternak of Newsline, Lyle Johnson of Tapper, David Cassidy, the editor, controversial editor, I may add, of 73 Magazine, Al Gross, the inventor of the first handy talkie and a digital beeper, Joe Lynch of QCWA and CQ Magazine, Steve Mendelson, who's the section manager in the Hudson area, Bob Grove of Monitoring Times, and previews in depth of the Dayton Ham Fest, along with in-depth reviews after the Hamfention. All this and more on Ham Radio and More. And our phone number, 1-800-298-TALK. 1-800-298-8255. Get online now. We'll be right back. Len Winkler here to tell you about two magazines that if you're not already a subscriber to, you sure should be. First is 73 Amateur Radio Today magazine. No other magazine brings you the exciting world of amateur radio like 73 Amateur Radio Today. Each issue contains construction projects, product reviews, columns on ATV, packet, my favorite, of course, fox hunting, QRP, satellites, and, of course, the great editorial perspectives by Wayne Green, and much more. The construction projects cover all skill levels, and the product reviews Well, they're done by hams that actually use the equipment they review in their own shacks. Also, 73 has more antenna articles than any other ham magazine. Did you know that single sideband FM spread spectrum and satellites were discussed in 73 magazine months before any other ham magazine? So order a subscription today. Only $19.97 for 1 year. That's 43% off the newsstand price, and save even more for 2 years. Slightly more in Canada. So call 1-800-289-0388. That's 1-800-289-0388. No, now the other magazine is Radio Fun. Are you really having enough fun with amateur radio? Well, Radio Fun is the only amateur radio magazine written especially for the newcomer or anyone else that wants to get all the enjoyment possible out of amateur radio. Every issue is packed with easy-to-understand projects, news, and reviews. Radio Fun will help you learn about all the areas of amateur radio, like packet, amateur TV, VHF, UHF, dozens more. You'll get fired up to do DX chasing, contesting, and public service. Only $12.97 buys you a 1 year subscription. That's 12 big issues, 46% off the cover price. It's slightly higher in Canada. Call 1-800-257-2346. That's 1-800-257-2346 for Radio Fun Magazine. Call right now.
Is your house starting to show its age? Another coat of paint won't make it look new again, but Sears vinyl siding can. See for yourself. Call Sears Siding at 1-800-832-5200 for a free in-home estimate. Call now and save 10%, up to $500. Sears vinyl siding gives your home a freshly painted appearance that's virtually maintenance-free. Its exclusive wood grain texture is guaranteed not to dent or peel for as long as you own your home. And it's sold, furnished, and installed by American Remodeling Incorporated, a Sears authorized contractor. License number is furnished on request. Sears siding even covers hard-to-paint spots, like eaves, overhangs, and trim. So make your house look new again. Call Sears siding at 1-800-832-5200 for a free in-home estimate. And save 10%, up to $500. Not available in all areas. Offer ends December 31st. Call 1-800-832-5200. That's
1-800-832-5200. CQ, CQ, CQ. This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Len Winkler. KB7LPW.
The Ham Radio and More. I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW, along with
John Moore, NJ70.
And we're talking to Joe Mel, K0V in Fullerton, California. Still with us, Joe?
You betcha.
Okay. All right. John wants to ask you about the friendship games.
Yeah, I've read some of your stuff about that. Are you doing friendship games this year with fox hunting?
The friendship games are held every 2 years. The third friendship games were held this last summer up in Victoria, British Columbia.
And I want to tell you, we have someone from British Columbia online. We'll get to him afterwards, but I just had to say that. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Well, maybe we know him. We met an awful lot of great hams up there, and it turned them on to transmitter hunting. They were not doing tea hunting in Victoria prior to the friendship games, and the event has certainly gotten them very interested. The Friendship Games is an offshoot of the Sister Cities program, and it was started between Portland, Oregon, and Khabarovsk, which is a city in eastern Russia. And they've had the first games there in 1989 in Khabarovsk. In countries like Russia, fox hunting is a major sport among the schools, but it's then, of course, quite different than it is here in the USA. So they did Russian-style fox hunting in Russia in 1989 with some hams from Portland that went over there. Then it came back here and was done in Portland in 1991. And another sister city of Khabarovsk is Victoria, British Columbia, and that's why the games were held there this past year. The next friendship games will be in 1993 back in Khabarovsk.
Wait a minute, it's 94.
Excuse me, 95.
Okay, no problem.
I overspoke, yes. 1995 in Khabarovsk, so if anyone would like to get involved in that, I'd be happy to tell them how to get involved in it.
Well, why don't you do that?
Well, certainly contact me for starters, because right now I'm kind of serving as a focal point here in the USA. It's a little unclear how that's going to happen in terms of setup, but I can certainly put them in touch with the right people if people want to do that. We should say, however, that, as I said, it's quite a different thing from tea hunting in the USA. Here in this country, most of our tea hunting is done in our cars. That's the way we Americans are, of course. We like to use our cars, and we cover a lot of ground on our tea hunts.
I think it has something to do with perhaps the age and sedentary nature of a few of us tea hunters.
Might have a lot to do with it. As a matter of fact, that's what makes it possible for hens of any age to go tea hunting here in this country, is because we do it in our cars, although, as you know, John, many times there's a what we call a sniff at the end of our tea hunts, where you may have to get out of your car and do a little bit of walking and poking around to actually find a transmitter that's concealed inside a cement post or something silly like that. But in the European and Asian style fox hunts, it's held in a large park, usually a wooded park, like a forest. And there are five transmitters set out on a course, not necessarily on any kind of a path or any kind of a trail, but somehow there's five transmitters set out there, and your mission is to find all five of them within a set period of time. And sometimes you may have to travel several miles
up and down mountains,
up and down hills, and over great terrain, including going around lakes and that sort of thing, in order to find those five transmitters and get back before the contest is over.
I think we should do one, Joe, here in Phoenix.
I think you should. We're indeed, in order to do some training for the Friendship Games, we're seriously discussing holding some events like that here in Southern California. It's very much like orienteering. Some people may be familiar with what orienteering is, and it's very much like orienteering, except with radios. As a matter of fact, an orienteering group in Victoria, the Victorianteers, were the main course marshals and the people that set up the fox hunt in Victoria, and they did a great job.
Okay, let's get Dean, VE7NEW, online here for Ham Radio and More from Ladysmith, British Columbia. You obviously are listening to us on satellite.
Hello.
How are you?
Not bad. Yeah, I just found you on our SpaceNet S3 Transponder 9, so we're going to pass it along to the people up here in Canada, because I'm sure they'd greatly love to listen to you guys.
Please.
I have a question about tea hunting. Our club here in Nanaimo is just getting into this, and I was wondering if it'd be easier to build a transmitter to start off with, or to use a handheld or some sort, or, you know, and have someone stand over somewhere and, you know, press the transmit for a few seconds. Would you have anything to add to that?
Sure. Actually, hiding a transmitter is really the easiest part of the whole thing, depending on what you're trying to do, of course. If you're trying to hide it and conceal it inside a phone book or something like that, you need some sort of a transmitter controller to turn the transmitter on and off and make some unique sounds. But if you're just getting started, many of the groups get started by just having someone be out somewhere, either in his car or out by himself, and using his handheld.
Joe, the other thing that we do here in Phoenix a lot is use some of the HTs that can be put on crossband and use them as crossband remotes so that you don't have to have a person with it.
That's exactly right. And if you get a little bit more advanced and want to, we have had some projects in the column in Homing In, and there's even a couple of commercial units available that will connect to your HT or your mobile rig and cycle it on and off and put out distinctive tones and give your call sign at regular intervals and even allow you to talk to it on another frequency as if it were crossband or be crossband and talk through your hidden transmitter, which is really fun. It's kind of like throwing your voice, isn't it, John?
You can really fool people with those.
Okay, Dean, anything else?
Yeah, okay, that's great. So maybe a little later on we'd build something and make it a little more exciting. So,
Well, we'll give a number for Joe Meller. We'll give some information where you can get in contact with him, and also the name of his book again, because he's writing he has written the definitive book, well, almost the definitive book, of hand transmitter hunting, and that's the one to get. Dean, if you hold on, I'd like Russ to take your name and address and phone number and everything, and we want to send you a free subscription to 73 Magazine, because you're our first satellite listener who called in.
That's great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Dean, hold on, and thank you for calling, and tell everybody in Canada, listen to SpaceNet 3 Transponder 9 6.8 audio. Thank you, Dean.
Yep, bye-bye.
73. Okay, we have in studio, real fast, we have over here Robert Swain, N7LUE, and Robert is involved with APRS, and that takes that has a little bit to do with tracking and stuff. Robert, would you go over what it is real fast?
Well, APRS is Automatic Packet Reporting System, and what that does, you can take a Doppler unit if you're into the high-tech end of the transmitter hunting, and I've built an interface where you can go from the 4 bits of digital data out of the back in through an RS-232 port into the APRS software. And the biggest question I get is, what is APRS? That's APRS is a program that will graphically display map information, any kind of points of interest that you want to put on there, repeater points. For instance, if you're doing a public service event, you might have several ambulances or the team leader of, let's say, a race or whatever you might happen to be doing as a public service event. You're always asking over the air, where is so-and-so or where is this point of location? With APRS, you don't have to get on the air and ask. It's right there graphically in front of you on your screen. And the map is as detailed as you care to make it for your area. If you're doing a three-block area for a parade, then you can make your map of that three-block area. If you want to DX across the nation on APRS, then you've already got a nationwide map included with the program. You can see areas all the way from the California earthquake up into the storms up in Maine.
Okay. Well, where can we get more information about APRS? Who can we call? I know it's written by somebody back east, APRS or something. What's his name?
Actually, it's WB4APR.
Okay.
I can't imagine there'd be any tie-in there, but you can contact him at 115 Old Farm Court, Glen Burnie, Maryland, 21060.
Okay, and more information, give us a call here. We'll be right back to AM Radio and more. You're listening to AM Radio More. I'm Len Winkler along with
John Moore.
We'll be right back with Joe Mell.
If you are one of the lucky few who have never outgrown your curiosity, if you are still eager to explore, to question, to learn, welcome. Welcome to Smithsonian Magazine and its monthly voyage of discovery. In Smithsonian, you explore your way across the land we live in and into other lands near and far. You travel distant seas, fly boundless skies, probe the secrets of science and nature. You revel in great art, drink in memorable words and breathtaking photography, get a close-up look at people and other creatures great and small. Every month in Smithsonian Magazine, you stretch your mind and let your imagination soar. Get 12 issues of Smithsonian Magazine and become an associate member of the Smithsonian Institution with all its privileges for just $22. Call toll-free 800-228-6260. If you are one of the lucky few who have never outgrown your curiosity, welcome to Smithsonian Magazine. Call 800-228-6260 now.
Why should I use an accounting and bookkeeping service when I can run an ad and get a stack of resumes?
Well, because your goal isn't getting a stack of resumes. It's hiring qualified employees so your company can be successful. Accounting and Bookkeeping Personnel Incorporated can help because the successful person that you really want probably won't answer an ad. Think about it. Statistics show that successful employees normally don't answer ads. They do, however, come to Accounting and Bookkeeping Personnel Incorporated looking for good opportunities to further their career. Accounting and Bookkeeping Personnel Incorporated has the luxury of picking from these successful candidates for your company, so their chances of knowing of a successful candidate is much higher. That's why you should use Accounting and Bookkeeping Personnel Incorporated. Call them at 277-3700. That's
277-3700. Let me make a note of that.
Accounting and Bookkeeping Personnel Incorporated. Call 277-3700. That's
277-3700. Arizona's newest performance vehicles never need fronted alignments. They don't need nice, neat garages or fancy alarm systems and never need oil changes. That's right, they never need an oil change. So what kind of vehicles are they? They're the all-new Vita line of quality copiers available at Business Systems of Arizona. Now you can feel the wind in your hair as copy after copy shoots out at speeds of 14 to 85 copies per minute and experience superior features such as fully automatic zoom and reduction, binding, sorting, stapling, duplexing, three-hole punch, and more, all at the simple touch of a button. Business Systems of Arizona is proud to offer the complete line of media copiers with leases starting at only $50 a month. Yes, leases starting at only $50 per month. So come in and test drive any one of Mita's quality performance copiers and find out why driving anything else only gets you further away from your destination, success. Call BSA at 258-COPY, 258-COPY.
This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Glenn Winkler, KB7LPW.
Okay, we're back to Ham Radio and More. We've only got a few minutes left. Vern, we'll get to you in a moment. We're talking to Joe Mel, K0V in Fullerton, about transmitter hunting. Today, I just need to give this information out. It's Super Bowl Sunday, which of course everybody knows. And to highlight this day in Atlanta, Georgia, Ralph Urbis, N4ZCV, along with a dozen other hams, have a Super Bowl 28 event station going on as we speak. You can find them on 20 meters, the lower portion, voice. Start a large ham radio and more pileup, guys. Get on 20 meters and tell them you heard about it here. Listen to this. The NFL has made and donated absolutely gorgeous special Super Bowl QSL cards. So this is something to really get a QSL, a confirmation, talk to them, do a QSO, and get a QSL card from N4ZCV, and they're using SB28 for Super Bowl 28. Give them a shout, get a super card from the NFL. Okay, let's go to Vern, W6ZJV in Big Bear, California. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Yeah, okay, that's ZJU as in uncle.
Okay, uncle, yeah, I give up.
Why don't you talk about a Doppler-type receiver that's hooked to an AM receiver, you know, something that's not as exotic as you were talking about with the computer-type stuff.
Okay. Joe?
I'm not sure I understood the question. Have you used the Doppler? Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. The Doppler is actually a little bit more high-tech than many of the T-Hunters use. As I said, many of them just use ordinary quads and beams. What they were talking about with the APRS, what Robert was talking about, was hooking a Doppler to a computer with a special program
which networks
a bunch of stations together so everybody can see what everybody is and what their bearings are. This is just in its infancy, and it promises to be a real boon for cooperative T-hunts, not so much the competitive ones.
Well, how about the simplicity of just having Doppler feeding, like an old communicator or something like that, and it just points to it?
Well, that's being done quite a bit. I'm sure that's what John is using, as a matter of fact, as a Doppler. You can't use it with an AM radio. You have to use it with one with an FM detector.
something like a scanner or just your transceiver, and a Doppler DF unit is a very good system for T-hunting.
No, I thought that had to be used with an AM receiver.
No. Dopplers use an FM technology, or they actually, the rotation of the antenna creates an FM signal, and so it needs to be received on an FM radio.
Excuse me, I got to butt in. Joe, do you want to give some information as to how people can get a hold of you if they want, and give your book, because we only got a minute?
That's right. As a matter of fact, anyone that would like to build a Doppler, there are plans for the Doppler in the book. It's a very simple one to build, and there are now even a couple of people that are offering boards for that unit. Anyone that would like to write to me can write to my P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 2508 in Fullerton, California, 92633. And anyone that would like to get the book, 73 Magazines Bookstore does have it available. And if they don't have it, you can contact me, and I'll be glad to tell people how to get it.
Joe Mel, thank you for being our guest, K0V. Thanks, Vern, for the phone call from Big Bear. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Next, we'll have an open line, call in, whatever you want to talk about. No Super Bowl again, so we'll have an easier time. So for Len Winkler, John Moore, Robert Swain, and Joe Mel, I want to say 73's America. And Dallas, I hope you win. Don't yell at me, Buffalo.
AM Radio, that specializes in the great service that amateur radio provides. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW.
Okay, CQ Arizona, welcome back to Ham Radio and More. This is our last show that we're running for only 45 minutes in the second hour. Starting next week, we go back to 2 full hours. John, isn't that going to be great?
Yeah, that'll be great, Lynn.
Okay, in the studio we have Bob Swain, N7LUE, and of course we also have online Joe Mel, K0OV. Joe, how are you after that hour?
That was really great fun. This is great. I'd rather be T-hunting or talking about T-hunting than watching the Super Bowl or even being in it.
Well, I kind of enjoyed, you know, that was our first call we got from Biloxi. That was our first call that we ever received from Canada, and that was excellent. I mean, I was, and when you started bringing up British Columbia, and then I saw British Columbia, I was really surprised. I mean, that really took me for a loop.
Oh, that was great. And T-hunting is popular all over. We're just now beginning to find out that pockets of T-hunting are developing all over the country, and I hope that we've encourage some people to get some T-hunting going in some other spots.
Okay, our local number for those of you who are not watching the Super Bowl, for those of you who are not still watching the Phoenix Open, probably ended by now, and are not in the traffic trying to get home from the Phoenix Open, our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755. And we even have a 1-800 number if you're in DX land in Arizona, 1-800-293-KFNN. And again, 230-2755. So if you have a question, you want to talk to Mr. T-Hunter extraordinaire, you know, we've got Joe Mel in and on the, online. Now, Joe, you know that you were talking about how inexpensive it was to get into T-hunting and how easy it is. Of course, there are the people who do try to do all kinds of expensive stuff with
Why are you looking at me like that?
with Dopplers and the like. And, of course, even people who tease me that my team might someday actually have a digital Doppler, you know, that might be interface
circuit boards built
that could see he again he's teasing me that could be interfaced with a GPS system and an APRS system, and again we have Bob Swain, and locally he, you know, really is pushing this APRS thing, and he says he's building an interface. So I figured I'd have both of you online here, and John, Mr. Tech here, and you might want to ask some questions and certainly explain to the local audience here what it is that, Bob, you're trying to do, interfacing APRS with with GPS and with a Doppler? I mean, will we be able to do that in transmitter hunting?
Well, the automatic packet reporting system already has the GPS unit and a weather station that you can plug into it already established in the program. All we're adding in now is being able to hook in the Doppler to it, and that's a matter of taking the four bits of digital data that normally drive the LED display and go into a UART, and that comes in through the serial port into the automatic packet reporting system. And like John was saying earlier, this will be really nice for making a team effort, where if you have an illegal transmitter, or if you have a downed aircraft in your area or whatever, you'll be able to use several fixed point stations as well as mobile stations, all working as a team, to be able to narrow down exactly where the transmitter is as quickly as possible.
Joe, are you familiar with that system?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I've been talking to Robert in the past couple of weeks because I learned about his interface from a packet message, and I contacted him because I'm hoping that Robert, when he gets his interface finished, that we can publish it in the Homing In column of 73 magazine and get the word out to T-Hunters that they have a new tool. We've had computerized triangulation for some period of time. In fact, I did a couple of articles in Homing In for it early last year. But what APRS is going to add is an automatic aspect to it, where the bearings and the locations of the individual trackers will be automatically put out on packet. They won't have to be manually entered, and there will be automatic updates, and the computer will keep history files, and it'll just it will not only make the work so much easier and allow people to concentrate on actually finding the transmitter, but make for some really interesting activities on the air.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Robert, are there active APRS stations that people can tune into with their packet, and if they have the APRS software, start watching this and seeing what's going on? I'm starting to get fascinated, and I've got an old version of the software, and I've got access to the Internet. So what can I do to start, if not being an active reporting station, to at least see what this thing does and see some other reporting stations?
Well, with zero money down, you can certainly get a copy of the program from the next packet users group meeting, or you can download it from me at my home QTH, or you can also write to Bob Bruninga direct in Maryland and get a copy of the software from him as well, and I'll give that address out a little bit later. There's a BBS on the East Coast that you can download it from. So there's numerous different places you can get the software. And locally, we're on 147.10 positive offset, and that's a repeater up on the White Tanks Mountain.
Okay, and so there are some stations here that are, what are they doing? Do they just periodically spit out their position, or do you have weather stations, or what?
Well, right now we've got one weather station online, N7QVU up in northwest Phoenix. He sends out his weather station data.
Jerry.
Yeah, several times an hour. So that's one of my favorite things to do, is pop on there and check the weather out over at Jerry's place. And whenever I've got the Doppler unit up and running, I'll put out Doppler data for anybody that's out there looking at it. Unfortunately, we've only got just the one Doppler unit in town, since I've got the only board for it. But we're working on getting that out as quickly as possible.
What Doppler unit does your board interface?
Anything that runs LEDs, from 8 LEDs on up to 32 LEDs. It'll run the Dick Smith, it'll run the old QST, the Roanoke Doppler, any one of the Doppler units that's out there, even including the Doppler systems.
Joe, by the way, what are you using nowadays when you go tea hunting?
Well, I have a van full. I find that it's like anything else. You need the right tool for the job, and different tea hunts tend to work out better using different pieces of equipment. Most of the time, I tee hunt on 2 meters using a quad, because in Southern California, unlike where you are in Phoenix, in Southern California, a lot of the hiders like to use really weak transmitters hidden behind hills, and of course, we have a lot more hills in our territory. I know you have some there in your area, but they don't seem to be as much a part of the tee hunts as the ones out here.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Well, you have stronger tees then, I'll tell you that, John.
It seems to me I remember somebody...
I was going to just say that.
...getting confused by our hills and driving several hundred miles on a tee hunt a couple years ago.
That could be. On the other hand, that was the first wide area tee hunt you'd had in a while. Have you had some more of those?
No, we haven't. There's been a little talk, but nobody's gotten around to doing it.
Well, you haven't come out here so I can get even, you know.
I know. I'm going to have to do that, but to come out there, I'm going to have to build a quad because...
you know, we are available to come out there. Of course, national celebrity that John is, he's not cheap.
I see. I came out to your place for free.
John, let's go. he makes a valid point there.
It's getting deep in here.
Made a valid point there, John. You know?
Yeah, you're right. We do have to go out there. Well, I have participated in one hunt in California and San Diego that I rode with K6BMG.
Oh, my. That must have been a while back. I haven't seen him out on a hunt for a long time.
It was a while back.
And Joe doesn't even know that you have a new truck, John.
Yeah, I got a new truck, Joe. You ought to see it.
Well, great. Well, bring it out here. We'll probably have a T-Hunt at San Diego at the convention coming up later this year, the Southwestern Division Convention. I'm sure all the Arizona hams are going to be coming across for that.
Oh, wouldn't miss it.
I'll be doing a T-Hunt for them there, and I'm sure there'll be a great T-Hunt for that. So maybe we can have a grudge match at the ARRL convention against you guys. How'd that be?
Well, we'll take it under advisement.
no promises.
But, you know, this new truck that John has is tremendous. And speaking of that, John got his truck from Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, who is the fleet manager of Lindebrock Auto Mall. And let me tell you about Ken Nichols of Lindebrock Auto Mall. The prices are the lowest going today. You cannot buy a vehicle for a lower price than when you deal direct with Ken Nichols, the fleet manager of Lindebrock Auto Mall. Now listen, if you want an Oldsmobile, a BMW, a Volkswagen, or a Dodge, whether it be the new Neon or the Dodge Ram truck or the Intrepid, which you know they can't keep in stock, no matter what, Ken can get it for you at the best prices going today. And there is no question about it. He takes lease deals if you want. He'll do that. He has low financing available. He takes trade-ins. And there's no hassle. You don't have to sit there and negotiate. And then he brings his boss in. And then he brings his boss's boss in. And then they bring their bosses. You know, all this hard. And forget it all. With Ken, you call him up at... I mean, you just give him a call. 233-22... Oh, now, would you believe that? I missed his phone number. 233-2288. And if you give Ken Nichols a call, you will absolutely get the best deal going today. I can't believe it, but you will have the best deal when you call Ken Nichols. He sells vehicles to New York, to Washington, to Hawaii, to Germany, to you, John, to England, all over the world. 228-2336. 228-2336. Ken Nichols, fleet prices direct to you. You will get the best deal. Right, John?
You betcha.
Okay. Okay, you're listening to Ham Radio and More here on KFNN, 1510 AM. Our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755. And I'm Len Winkler, along with John Moore, and we have Robert Swain, N7LUE, and we're talking to Joe Mel, K0V. And on line one, which we'll take right now, we have Daryl. You have a question about the APRS system.
Yeah, I realize that the APRS system is a graphical mapping system. However, is there a possibility, since, like, if we're talking about city, we're talking about streets and you know, locations and stuff, of making a more text-type oriented system out of it?
I don't know of a way of going about doing that. The nice thing about APRS is that it's graphics. If you wanted to go with a text system, I really don't know if you could go with maybe a text-to-speech card or something along those lines.
Well, the idea being, I'm a blind user of the technology, the idea being that we would still be able to have an idea where everybody is if we were able to be work in an emergency communication system so that we don't get shut out of the whole system.
Let me ask this. The raw packets that come across for that are readable as text, right?
they can be readable. You'd probably have to come up with some kind of interpreter program to break it down a little bit.
Is there any way of getting in contact with the person that wrote the software and coming up with some sort of software like?
Well, we
like
can
that?
Certainly run it by him, and he may be very much willing to do that if he thinks there's enough interest out there to pull off something like that.
Yeah, okay. I just need to make sure that we don't, you know, that doesn't get shut out of, like, emergency communication and stuff.
No, absolutely. That's a very important and vital part of ham radio.
And another thing is that I'm still trying to find that internet address for the Tucson packet gateway.
Well, if you find it, let us know. I left it on the bulletin board, the one that I had for you.
You did?
Oh, yeah, I did it a week ago, and someone took the message. It's not on. There's no message for NU7I right now, and I definitely left it a week ago.
You gave me the internet address.
You bet.
Oops, because I never got the message.
Well, it was on BUC, you know, so.
Oh, it was on BUC?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to find a way to get in there then, okay, because I'm on KC7Y.
Okay, well, it was on BUC.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, Daryl.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I want to give a couple of local QSTs I need to. I want to remind people that the West Valley Amateur Radio Club is having their auction of almost next to new, close to unique, amateur radio and related equipment Monday evening, February 7th, at the St. Clement Social Hall, 15800 North Del Webb Boulevard. So if you're looking for some equipment, this is a good place to go because it's an auction and you can get some stuff real, real cheap. And if you want to know some information on that, give Bob Gormley a call, WA1MHZ, at 843-2193, 843-2193. The other thing is the Thunderbird Amateur Radio Club is having their first meeting February the 17th at ASU West. And so for you people living in the northwest suburbs or in the north suburbs, or even if you live out in Mesa, you can go out to ASU West, 47th Avenue in Thunderbird, a great group of guys that put together the Thunderbird Amateur Radio Club. And the first program that will be there is going to be given by Cliff Bailey, WA7GBL of the Arizona Public Service Company. And Cliff gives a great, great presentation on proper grounding techniques. So if you're a new ham, or even if you're an old ham, or even if you're just interested in amateur radio or shortwave listening and you got all this equipment attached to antennas outside, this is certainly a program for you. Proper grounding is important all the time. So if you want more information about that, give Morgan Riley a call, N7DLW, and you can reach Morgan, 938-4356, 938-4356. Okay, enough QSTs, we're on to the show. Joe, I know you have everything grounded in your truck.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It helps protect them from earthquakes.
What would you say, if you could think back, of one of the most unique or the most unique place that a transmitter has ever been hidden?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask a question like that. It seems like every time I do that, I start to I think of a new one every time I think of one that was better than the last. Recently, I wrote in a column in 73 where I detailed a number of some of the more unique ones lately. You probably saw it. We had Christy, my sister-in-law, K0IU, posed as a bag lady. She was pushing the transmitter around in a shopping cart in a mall, and she was dressed up to look the part. This was a night hunt. But she had all the tattered clothes and everything, and she looked like someone that was really down on their luck, and certainly had more than one T-Hunter afraid to approach her. And identifier is the hidden transmitter.
We've had that variations on that theme here a couple of times, and I know I've been afraid to approach the the hidden T.
We also talked about Eldor VE2HUG from Montreal sent in a story about how they hid the transmitter in some fake posts. It looked like the post that would hold up a chain across the roadway. And the transmitter was concealed down inside the posts, which were cemented into the ground.
and you had to be look real close to identify anything that looked like a transmitter in that case.
Well, I've got a question for you there. How do you determine when somebody's won in a case like that?
That's a good question, and you have to be a little careful. Oftentimes someone is watching to see if they indeed do find it. Usually there is a little tag somewhere near the transmitter with a secret frequency on it. You know, go to 144.101 or something, or 110 or somewhere, you know, some oddball frequency, and check in. And of course, you wouldn't know to check in on that frequency unless you'd actually found the transmitter.
No, yep. You'd have to find the tag.
The tag, yes. And sometimes the tag is hard to find.
We've had several, a number of T-hunts where the winner has been determined by who can program his radio fastest to the call-in frequency.
That's also true. Well, another way to do that is to have a little pad of Post-it notes or something, maybe even a little smaller, with numbers on them. And as people find the T, they pull off those little tabs, so that whoever has the lower number tabs, of course, obviously, is found the T's first.
That's a very good idea, because the last time John and I could have won, it was where I called it in first, but found it second, and they didn't give us credit.
Keep in mind, most of our hunts in Southern California are not won by the person that finds it first because of just these problems. Usually the mileage determines the winner, but when the tee is in a very unusual place, why, you got to do something beyond mileage, because people can have low mileage, but if they don't actually find, you know, the transmitter in the unusual place, why, they shouldn't get credit.
But that brings up a point. You guys don't do timed hunts anymore like we do, huh?
Well, that's what I was saying, that we mostly have mileage hunts, at least on the night hunts. We do have some timed hunts. Some of the beginners hunts, the Racy's group in Orange County is sponsoring a hunt. It's been a very good hunt for beginners, and that one is the first finder wins, and they've done some very unique things. So I kind of like a combination of time and mileage or something to give people a little incentive to do a fast job of sniffing, because if it's just mileage, there's no incentive to sniff fast.
Okay. Want to take a moment here to talk about Wallpaper World, then we'll be back to Joe Mel. And let's see. Wallpaper World, right now they have a very big special going on Levalure mini blinds at 80% off. That's 80% off on Levalure. That's the best you can get. You can't do better than Levalure, and it's a full 80% off. If you buy four or more, they install them absolutely free. In fact, they'll even measure them free and install them. And also, if you want Bally, they got Bally at 80% off at the same time. Also, Duets are on sale at over 70% off. That's Hunter Douglas Duets. There's other competitors that are advertising big discounts on radio stations. Let me tell you, even when they say 70%, Wallpaper World is giving over 70% off on Duets, and then they're installing them absolutely free, which no one else does at those kinds of discounts. Wallpaper World has been around in the Valley since 1977. They don't work out of a trunk of the car. They have six locations, beautiful showrooms, with trained personnel to assist you in your selection. They have people who can tell you the kind of, if you bring in fabric or a paint chip, they can mix and match and do everything for you. So if you're into doing and redoing your home right now, or buying a new house, as so many people are doing in the Valley, Wallpaper World is really the place to go. They even have Phoenix Suns basketball border. Now, I'm telling you, it is the real thing. It's even got the silver registered label and everything from the Phoenix Suns, and that's in stock. So I know you guys want that. And anyway, that's in stock at Wallpaper World. Again, six locations in the Valley, one near you, Scottsdale, Paradise Valley, Mesa, Chandler, Northwest Phoenix, all over. Six locations. Wallpaper World, their phone number, 272-4788, 272-4788. They really do make selecting wallpaper and custom window treatments an enjoyable experience. Okay, I want to remind people, since we are talking about transmitter hunting, that not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after, and every month, the second Saturday of the month, we have our local transmitter hunt here in Phoenix. Again, it takes place the second Saturday of every month, and if I'm not mistaken, this next one is a West Side Start.
I believe that's correct.
Okay, a West Side Start by the same group that seems to win it every month that they don't hide it, the Pinups.
Yeah, very annoying.
Their name keeps showing up. Anyway, they do a very good job of hiding.
We're
going
to have to, you know, take out their tires on their cars.
No. But I was thinking maybe we can come up with 40, 50 cents and get Joe to come out to Phoenix and help us win the hunt for a change.
That's Bill and Bonnie, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, when I was there, they were using both a Doppler and a beam, were they not?
That's to begin with.
And so I guess what I was going to say is, see, they have multiple tools. Maybe you guys need more than one tool.
Well, with my new vehicle, I can now put a beam up if I want.
I think it's time to drill that big hole in the roof.
And
I know lots of people will be glad to help you.
Oh, I got a sunroof.
Even better.
And he did finally drill a hole in his old truck, I want you to know. When
sure.
He finally got the guts to do it, he did it. It only took him 12 seconds, and we were there.
And he probably did it the day before he traded it in. You got to do it the day you buy it, John.
No, I've still got it.
True devotion.
He gave it to his daughter. So, you know, but she comes with us on tea hunts with her boyfriend now.
She can go hunting by herself now. She's got the hole in the roof.
Hey.
Got another team
true.
Out there.
We didn't think of that. That would be interesting. Anyway, it's the second Saturday of the month, West Side Start. And when we say West Side Start, that means 7th Avenue and Camelback for us here in Phoenix. 7th Avenue and Camelback in the Target Shopping Center at 7 o'clock. And if you don't want to hunt, if you just want to come along for the ride, come early. There's usually, and I have to emphasize usually, there's usually a place where you can go on some team and be a part of it. Otherwise, you can always go in your own vehicle and follow one of the teams. I don't suggest you follow us, but you might want...
It depends on whether you want to win or not.
Yeah. If you want to go put in excess mileage, you might want to follow us. But if you want to win, you might want to follow the sergeants or somebody.
The pinups.
The pinups. Well, they're hiding, though.
All right. WA6AEG. He's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, well, they all are, and Zussman might even go out.
Yep.
Yeah, there are a bunch of them. Anyway, 7 o'clock, you're welcome to come out. Oh, and I want to tell you guys listening here in Phoenix, when I said in the national show to send in cards and stuff, and we're going to draw for the 73 magazine subscriptions and radio fund subscriptions, that includes you guys here in Phoenix also. So don't be shy. You can mail in, or if you want, you can drop it off at the station, a QSL card or a postcard, and send it in. We want to show it to our sponsors, show us that, you know, we do have listeners, and also we'll pull and give you a free subscription if you win. So we'll start that next week. And again, next week we're going to have an open line forum for much of the show, and we will also have an interview with George Fadauer Jr., who is, of course, from Antique Electronic Supply. And we really, here in Phoenix, are kind of, I don't know if blessed might be a little strong, but we are really sort of lucky is the word, to have Antique Electronic Supply here in Phoenix, because if you've ever gone into that place, and John, you said you've been in there?
Yeah, I've been there.
Over 100,000 tubes, and I'm not exaggerating, over 100,000 tubes in this place. So, anyway, we'll have George in an interview next week. Our phone number here is 230-2755, 230-2755. And, you know, give us a call if you want to get online. If the Super Bowl isn't too exciting, it's probably 0-0. It's probably the best Super Bowl ever. But, you know, if it isn't, give us a call. And we are talking to Joe Mel, K0OV. Okay, what, John, now that we have Mr. Guru about tea hunting here, what do you want to ask him so that we can win next time? You know, there must be something you need to know.
Well, it's something I need to have. I need to have one of those little spinning computerized beams. What do you think about that, Joe?
I think I've got a better idea, John. I think you ought to get together with Robert, and you ought to have Robert tell you about the new TNCs with GPS attached that they are that are being made available for use with APRS. And when Bill and Bonnie go to hide the transmitter, you put this little unit on their vehicle, and it will send out an APRS their exact location the whole time. You pick it up on packet and just follow them to their location.
Yeah, that sounds real good. I've already got a GPRS. Came in real handy on the last one.
So you just need to connect that to a TNC running the right software. I think Robert can tell you how to do that, and it'll track anything. That's how they...
Next time my daughter's car gets stolen.
Mm-hmm. Or you can even use it to put it on when your daughter goes out, and you can find out where she goes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I threatened her with that because she knows about the technical capabilities here, and she said, you wouldn't put one of those things on my car, would you? Nah, I wouldn't do that.
What other unique, Robert, what other unique things about APRS is there? I mean, what other uses, what are people using it for?
Well, right now, public service events for the Phoenix area would be the best thing for us to use it in. For instance, the Best Damn Bike Ride, whenever we're trying to track down the ambulance that's...
The seg wagon, the ambulance.
Exactly. Yep. Where's the water? When's the water going to be here? Things like that. Anything that would be a graphical map.
We'd need one of those
problem.
Packet plus GPRS whiz bangs for that would be the easiest way.
Well,
right?
You could put GPS, for instance, in the ambulance would be a good place
GPS,
for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hook it up when in the TNC mode there and just let it run.
Is there APRS being utilized, Joe, in the California area?
No, it's fairly new. There's a small net that meets on Sunday of some people that are just getting involved. As a matter of fact, as I'm sitting here in breaks, I'm diddling on my keyboard on my laptop with APRS, getting familiar with it, and getting ready to get going on it. We're just all learning, and a lot of us are very excited about it.
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't know Bob until a couple weeks back at a packet users group. And I was familiar with APRS only because we have another guy, Jerry, as he mentioned earlier, who brought it with a laptop a couple months earlier. But when Bob started talking about it, it was like, this is his thing. I mean, he's pretty excited about it. So I think he's really got Phoenix involved. I mean, how many people would you say are using it right now?
At any given time, you can get on there and see... probably four users that are on continuously, myself included in there, and then on a good night we've got maybe 12 users in there, and I hope that explodes here pretty quick.
Uh-oh. Explosions. Now, I have a question. The APRS, does it make anybody on packet acknowledge?
No, it's actually more of a one-way type of a thing, non-connected packets.
Sends a UI.
Right. And that makes it very efficient. And since it's not actually sending any graphical information, it's just sending a real quick one-liner across there.
That will not be passed by the nets, though, right? In other words, it's not going to... We couldn't use that for a statewide weather net or something unless we had, you know, that went through the various relay systems.
Right, yeah. You would have to do that either direct or doing it through a digipeater type of a system to get it over a wide area like that. The HF fellows are using it on 7.085 lower sideband and 10.151 lower sideband. And I should note in there that if you have a TNC that uses 2,210 hertz, that you would want to change your frequency up 510 hertz higher. And that is within band if you go back and read about how that works.
Okay. I hope everybody heard. Joe, are you going to get that Super Bowl QSL card?
Oh, I'm going to have to. Well, I don't know if they're still on when we get done.
Well, he promised that he'd stay on for about an extra hour or so because, you know, I told him I'd mention it.
Well, I think I'm going to run right home and try that.
Well, you know what's neat is that the NFL is producing these. I think that's kind of neat. And don't forget, Joe, that in 2 years, Phoenix will be the home of the Super Bowl.
If we don't do something politically incorrect again.
And with my luck, you'll ask me to be on your show that day, too.
Oh, come on. I didn't even know that the Super... And you know what? We still had calls.
Oh, of course. And as I said, I'd rather be T-hunting than being in the Super Bowl anyway.
Oh, okay. You don't know what the score is, do you?
No.
Oh, okay. I want to know what the score... All right.
I want to know.
Anyway. Call up. Yeah, someone with the score, 230-2755.
There we go.
Ah, the phone's ringing. Okay, someone will tell us what the score is. Anyway, you know, we only touched on it briefly. Of course, you found out how fast the show goes now on a national level. It doesn't take very long before it's over. The transmitter hunting, the sport of it, is so popular for the Japanese. I wonder if there's any way that we're able to get that kind of participation and enthusiasm like they do in Japan.
Well, one of the reasons that it's so popular is it's done not only in Japan but in China and many of the Scandinavian countries, is that it is done in the schools. And it's not necessarily done as a ham radio activity, although obviously hams are the main teachers of it and doers of it, but the kids that are doing it are not necessarily ham radio operators, but it's a great way to introduce them to ham radio. I would certainly love to talk to anyone who is, for example, leading Boy Scouts or any other youth group who would like to do that sort of thing with their group. Orienteers.
How about the Civil Air Patrol ELT hunters? Have any of them gotten involved in the fox hunt side of things?
Yes. As a matter of fact, as I was mentioning in the national show just briefly, I did a column, which will be, I believe, in the April issue of 73, a great column about two of our T hunters, Bob Miller, N6ZHZ, and Kathy Lavoni, KD6CYG, who got into T hunting because they were in Civil Air Patrol. And they couldn't find anybody in CAP to really teach them how to T-hunt. And they met some T-hunters, and they got started in ham radio T-hunting. And they are doing a great job of cross-pollinating between CAP and ham radio T-hunting, because they do things a little bit different in CAP. And so he's showing them some ham radio techniques, and he's bringing some of the CAP techniques into ham radio. And it's just really been great.
I think it one of the reasons we may not be winning as often is that I've been using my CAP techniques in ham radio, and in CAP there's no race other than you want to make sure you find it, and if it's a downed airplane, you want to find it soon, but it's a different sort of thing, and different tactics. The transmitter never goes off the air.
It's very cooperative, and when you're hunting for an ELT, very often you're hunting for a signal that you can't hear. Because they get satellite coordinates told to them that an ELT has been reported by a satellite at such and such a geographical coordinate, so they try to head for those coordinates using their GPS and hope eventually they'll be able to hear the transmitter. That's much different from T-hunting.
Spend a lot of time driving around doing that. Go ahead, Lynn.
I want to be sure that we get your address out again, Joe. Give out your address to anybody interested in sending you asking you any questions or anything else. I know that Ham Radio Outlet has your book, by the way, so if anybody does want a copy of your book, and I heard there's going to be updates coming.
Well, yes, we're definitely working on that. The basic way to get updates right now is to read 73 Magazine, because that's where the latest T-hunting news is, and the basics, of course, are in the book. I'm glad to hear you say it's available at HRO locally. It is not here in Southern California, so I'm hoping they'll order a new stack of them soon. So if anyone can't get it from the local radio stores, as I indicated, both the ARRL and the 73 Magazine bookstores have it, or they can write to me and I can help them out with that. My post office box is in every issue of 73 Magazine at the head of the column, so in case you don't get it written down now, it'll be there. But it's very easy. It's P.O. Box 2508 in Fullerton, F-U-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, California, 92633. And we get a lot of mail from the column. I always appreciate people that send those self-addressed stamped envelopes. Those are the ones that get answered first, but all the mail gets answered eventually.
Do you have packet and Internet addresses?
Yes, I do have an Internet address. The Internet address is just my name, Joe Mell, as one word, J-O-E, and it's spelled M-O-E-L-L. And the Internet address would be the ampersand, and it's cup.portal, P-O-R-T-A-L.com, C-O-M. I'll say it again, cup.portal.
Okay, Robert, give us the address of APRS real fast.
That's for Bob Bruniga, 115 Old Farm Court in Glen Burnie, Maryland, and the zip is 21060.
Do you want to give your phone number, Bob, in case people want to call you locally here?
Sure, it's 977-0704, and give me a little bit of time to get home after the show.
Okay. Steve, welcome to Ham Radio and More, quickly.
Yeah, I don't run an IBM PC, and I'm looking for information, or where do I find the specification for the information that gets encoded in the packet so that I can write my own decoder?
I believe there's already some programs available. I think Bob has already written one for Apple, and I think he may even know how to do the old Commodores.
Bob, give your phone number again. Steve, copy the phone number.
Okay.
Give Steve a call. I mean, give Bob a call, and Bob will get the information for you because he's, like, tight with the APRS guy.
Okay.
So give the phone number again.
977-0704.
Okay, thanks
okay.
a lot.
Thanks, Steve. Randy, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Welcome, Lynn. I was listening to you guys, and you were talking about how a real simple way of doing tea hunting was with, like, a radio and just a beam antenna. And I got thinking, I'm like, wow, why go to all the trouble? An even simpler way is just to use a plain HT and use your body to block it. And I think John's real familiar with that technique. We've actually taken young people out to a park and hidden, put a hidden transmitter in one of our local parks, and they go out with handhelds and just use what we call body block DFing, where they hold it up against their chest, and it's safe because it's receiving, so there's none of the scare about, close RF and stuff
right.
like it. And you just turn around in circles while looking down at your S meter, and you definitely need an S meter, and when your back is to it, you're going to have a null. When you're totally facing it, or actually when it's at anywhere in 180 degrees in front of you, you're going to get almost full scale, but you look for the null, and it works real well, and it takes no additional equipment other than an HT with an S meter.
Well, I think you're 100% right, Randy. Again, that won't help you on a 10-mile one, but it certainly
right.
will if you're on foot.
Actually, it'll help you on a 10-mile one. The biggest problem is when somebody's running 100 watts and you get close enough, you can't see the null.
Sure.
I use that technique for finding ELTs. I normally don't even bother with a directional antenna when I get out on foot. I use that body shield. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, there's a couple other suggestions that I can throw in addition to that. He's got the basics down, but when you get in so close that you can't get a null, and by the way, we have a kind of a saying around here, the bigger the body, the better the null. So some of the bigger
Hey, I'm in good shape.
Real quick.
All right, real great. You can tune slightly off frequency to attenuate the signal. There's a great technique in a recent QST magazine about sticking the HT down into a tube that's covered with foil, which acts like a waveguide below cutoff, and it acts like a great attenuator.
Joe, you've been a great guest. KZOV, thanks a lot. Thanks, Randy, for calling. Listen to Ham Radio More next week. This is Len Winkler and John Moore and Bob Swain, 73's Arizona.
73's and 88's. Thank you for listening to Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. Listen again next week for the next transmission of Ham Radio and More.